Proverbs chapter number 29. Verse number 15 through 21. This is the third straight week that I have ambitiously tackled 7 points, 7 proverbs. So I think it's a tour now. We're on the ambition tour. I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. We're heading toward the end here, and I'm trying to run there as quick as we can. Verse 15, Proverbs 29. We'll read these 7 verses, and then we'll say something about each one quickly. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. But the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words. For though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. That's how God penned down his word for us tonight. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may we rejoice that we have your word, that you speak to us through your word and you give us wisdom and direction and guidance in and through your word. As we look for your will, we find it in Scripture. So I pray, God, that you would give us understanding tonight, that you would give us ability to receive your word, and then we pray the Holy Spirit would apply these truths to our lives so that we would walk in the very way that you would have us to walk, and we would please you in all that we do and all that we say. We are so sorry that we fail you so often. We're sorry that we fall so terribly short. But the desires of our heart is to please you. And I pray, God, that you would take your word tonight and you would help us to do that. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Verse 15, let's talk about wisdom and discipline. Once again, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, I understand what our culture says. I understand what liberals say. I even understand what Dr. Spock says. I've read his books as well. But the Bible always promotes discipline for the good of a child and for the joy of the parents. Contrary to cultural thought, disciplining a child is not the exhibition of hate, it is a sign of love. An undisciplined child is an unloved child. Here, Solomon says that the child is to experience a double form of discipline. In words, in reproof, and in actions, in the rod. The rod represents the physical, corporate nature of discipline, while the reproof represents the verbal. I always hated the verbal. Just spank me. Don't tell me why you're going to spank me. Just spank me. But no, you need to have the verbal as well, right? You remember always telling your children, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Well, that's true. Except when you're a child getting the spanking, you don't believe that, do you? But it is true. We have already seen that the Bible says that the heart of a child is full of foolishness. And it is the parent's responsibility to guide and direct the child away from that foolishness. A child is not to be left to himself, or in other words, the child is not to have his own way because he's not capable of choosing the right way. The child is to be obedient to the parent's way. Say amen. And when we fail to do this, when we fail to discipline our children in reproof and with the rod, then we only nourish the future reality that they will do those things that will bring us shame. In an effort to be their friend instead of their parents, we actually bring harm to them and to ourselves. When we fail to do things God's way, it always goes the wrong way. Wisdom and discipline. Number two, wisdom and disease. And here I'm calling sin or wickedness a disease. Look what it says. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. But the righteous shall see their fall. In this proverb, we are reminded of what we already know. Sin always advances in its influence. Sin, like a disease, a contagious disease, spreads. The more there are wicked people, the more that sin will increase. The more there are that are infected and contagious, the more their disease will spread. Or, you can make this assessment. If sin is increasing, then you know that the wicked are increasing as well. The result of the multiplication of wicked is the multiplication of transgression. Now listen, if moral boundaries are removed, you will find yourself in places that you never dreamed that you would be in. Now, who would thought that we tonight are in the place that our country is in 20, 30 years ago? We didn't get in this predicament overnight. It didn't just happen. It happened gradually over the years as we have removed one moral boundary after another. But ultimately, sin always causes destruction and disaster. The righteous will be exalted while the wicked will always fall. Sin may look like it's triumphing today, but it never does. Not in this world, nor the world to come. We are not told when the fall will occur, but we are told that it is sure to happen. When the wicked are multiplied, the transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Wickedness will not win. Wickedness will not triumph. God will triumph over all wickedness and sin. 17. Wisdom and delight. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Here's another proverb to parents. Solomon says here that parents are to correct their children. What he is speaking here is of a spiritual correction. So, if this is a spiritual correction, a spiritual teaching, then the first work must be of the parents. For the parents cannot teach or correct their children spiritually if the parents don't know what the Bible says, what God says. They must first be children of God and be corrected by the Word of God, and then and only then can they be parents to correct their children. Are you with me? The love of God, the fear of God, and the instruction of the Word of God must first be learned by the parents before they can be corrective toward their children. And when this happens, there is rest and there is delight. There is comfort. And this process will continue in further generations as the children that are corrected now will correct their children. You know, we often say, boy, this generation that we have today, they just seem to be so far from God. This current young generation just seems to be so disinterested in the things of God, in church, in the Bible. They seem so interested in everything else but God. And I'm here to tell you tonight that rests solely on the parents' shoulders. Because their parents have largely ignored being corrected by God's Word. And they have failed to correct their children because they haven't learned it themselves. Because they have failed, because parents have failed, because we have failed in our own spiritual progress, we are unable to teach our children. And therefore, they don't know. And their children will be worse than they are. And this has happened for several generations, and we see how far we have gotten from the truth that is promoted in this proverb. If you will look at statistics, you will see that the decline in church attendance over the last 60, 70 years is dramatic by generation. As one generation has become colder on God, their children have become colder because they haven't taught their children. Those children now, without that teaching, teach their children even less and less and less as the generations go to where we are now, where young people don't want to go to church unless they're being entertained or rock and rolled. They're not interested in the Word of God. And they're not interested in the Word of God because their parents haven't been interested much in the Word of God. And their parents as well. Correct thy son. Teach thy son spiritual truths, and he will give thee rest. Yea, he will give delight unto your soul. Verse 18, wisdom and direction. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, this verse is often removed from its context so that churches can sort of give you a vision of the program they want to install or the building program they want to begin, and they use this verse for that. It's not really what this verse is about. You and I live in a society where the people no longer value what God says. We live in a time where in the church, many people no longer value what God says. This proverb is not about some vision of the implementation of programs. This proverb is about God's voice and God's Word. Where God's Word is not allowed to speak, where God's revealed Word seems to be mostly absent, where God's Word is not reverenced, and where God is not feared, and where His Word is not obeyed, the people will perish. The farther we drift from God and His Word, the more problems we will have. Have you not noticed that in our own country? The farther we drift from God, the worse we get. It is true in my life. It is true in my family's life, in the church life. The farther we get away from God and obedience and reverence for His Word, the more we tend to fall into ruin and perish. When God's Word is absent, the people are unrestrained. Or the people are let loose. In other words, we would say that maybe the people are allowed to let their hair down and live a very undisciplined life. Do you realize that what we're going through today is the result of the vision of God, the Word of God being ignored, and God losing His voice in a country, in a place that He has blessed beyond measure? We remove God from the schoolhouse, we remove God from the courthouse, we remove God from everything, and yet we think we're going to prosper. Where there is no vision, where there is no Word of God, where there is no direction from God, the people will perish. Because we do what's right in our own eyes. The reins of conduct and behavior is the Word of God. That's what guides us. That's what directs us. And we basically have removed the guidance and we have removed the direction from our lives, even in the church. On the other hand, where God's Word is preached, where God's Word is embraced, where God's Word is obeyed, where we see the keeping of the law, we find, according to Solomon, happy people, happy individuals. Isn't it amazing that the Word of God is so powerful, the preaching of God's Word so powerful in its faithfulness to God's Word, that through it, God can tame an entire society? And where it is missing, where God's Word is missing, every form of evil is eventually embraced. The answer for our country, the answer for our churches is not programs, is not political parties. The answer for our country's ails is God. And if we don't turn back to God, we will perish like every other society has perished. Number 5, verse 19, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Now here we talk about wisdom and defiance. We no longer have slaves, so this proverb has to be applied in principle. Although we no longer have physical slaves, we still have people all around us that are enslaved to Satan and to sin. Amen? And that enslavement to Satan and to sin cannot be corrected by just words. It's not that they can't understand the words. They do understand them. But it is their hearts are obstinate, their hearts are defiant, their hearts are rebellious. Sinners enslaved to sin are rebels. They're defiant. They simply, hearing the word, will not answer. When pressed for repentance, when pressed for turning, they simply don't answer. They understand their need for repentance of their sins. They understand that trusting in Jesus for their salvation is the only hope. They simply don't do it. And the reason is that words are just not enough. For a slave, it takes other forces to be corrected, and for a sinner, it does as well. the Word, as it is applied by the Holy Spirit, convinces and convicts the enslaved of truth. It is the work of God through the Word by the Holy Spirit that looses the shackles of sin and sets the captives free from the enslavement of sin. Not just words, but the Word and the Spirit of God together breaks enslaved sinners free. Wisdom and defiance. A servant will not be, a slave will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Something else must be come in, and for us it is the Holy Spirit. Number 6. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs is always viewing haste in general as a pathway to trouble. Anytime we react in a hurry, anytime we react immediately with haste, Proverbs generally says we're heading for trouble. Here, the problem is hasty words. Someone has said something to you. Someone has commented something to you. And in haste, we say something quickly in return. And Solomon says there is more hope for a fool, someone who doesn't even know Christ, than for one who quickly speaks. Because it is precisely the fool who is quick to speak. Such a one, without first listening, he speaks without thinking, he speaks without processing what has been said, he gushes forth whatever comes to his mind, and wherever there are many words, Proverbs has already told us, transgression is unavoidable. The more we say, and especially the more we say quickly, the more potential we have to sin. Say amen. Let me say that again so that sinks in. The more we say, and especially the more we say quickly, the more potential we have to sin with our tongues. Now, the wisdom here is what? Hold your tongue. Don't be so quick to speak your mind. You don't have much to give away. You might want to hold on to some of it. Amen? Before our tongues are loosened into gear, maybe we ought to put our minds into gear before we loosen our tongues. Amen? How many of you have said things that you later regretted saying? How many of you do that pretty often? Later you say, boy, if I would have just thought, I wouldn't have said that, or I wouldn't have said it that way. If I would have just thought before I spoke, I would have said things differently. We shouldn't be hasty with our words. We shouldn't blurt out thoughtless ideas. We shouldn't put on record our words. What is that old saying? It says, if you're quiet, people will just think you're dumb, but if you speak, they'll know you're dumb. Amen? But what is it? It's our pride, right? It's our pride that demands that we defend ourselves, or we defend, get our ideas in. It's our pride, and pride goeth before destruction. The wisdom here is hold your tongue. You don't have to say it right then, right? It would be far better for us, for me, to hold my tongue and pray and let God guide what I need to say. Amen? But you see, I'm like you. I've got to get it said, and I've got to get it said right now. And what I say don't have a bit of substance or value to it whatsoever, except hurtful, harmful things. That as much as we later on say, I wish I hadn't said that, we can't take them back. Once they're out, they're out. Once they pierce, they pierce. Once they hurt, they hurt. You can't put them back in. So the wisdom here is to delay in what you say. Think about it. Delay. Hold your tongues so that you won't sin with what you say. Amen? There's one more we can't get to tonight. Wisdom and discernment. Real quickly, there's a good thought there. I need to tell you what it is. Every 7 years, a slave was set free. Right? Biblical days, a slave, every seventh year, the slaves were set free. If the slave owner did not prepare that slave for freedom, which he should have done over the 7 years, prepared him in some way to live a life of freedom, then that slave would always just turn around and stay with him. So Solomon says, if you don't prepare the slave for freedom, he's going to wind up being your son. He's going to be here all the time. You're going to be supporting him the rest of his life. And what we should do is always prepare people for the reality. Amen? Not for our imagined reality. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you would take something that has been said tonight and use it to help us to live our lives wiser. We admit tonight that we fail in so many of these areas, and we desire to please you and to do better. God, we know that we can't without you. So we pray that you would take your word tonight, fasten it to our hearts, help us to hold our tongues so that we would not sin against you. Help us to correct. Help us to share spiritual truths with our children. Help us to discipline them in love. Help us to obey your word and to be guided by it, no matter what our culture says, knowing that you speak truth. Bless us tonight. Be with the choir as they come and practice. Help them. May you glorify yourself in our lives, in our families, in our church. May you have mercy on our country. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.